Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Okay, then hello.
Hi.
And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
Today, we are doing P.S. I Love You. Oh, wait, but I'm Bree.
I'm Allie, and we're doing P.S. I Love You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
Wait, don't we normally say it's season 8, episode 7?
I don't know. I feel like we say that half and half. So, yeah.
We'll say it this time.
All right. Yeah. You got a picture? We're clearly out of it tonight.
I know, it's a great one. Well, the only picture I can think of is one that I was going to save for a minisode.
Okay, then I am out of it because I took the day off today, which is awesome. But I spent literally 6 hours straight cleaning because I'm hosting a bridal shower on Saturday.
Holy shit.
It's like I needed it to be clean because there's like, you know, mud caked into the floors and everything like that, and I'm like, this is gross. I'm so tired, and so that's why my brain's kind of out of it.
And
that makes sense.
On top of that, on Monday, so we're recording you guys on Wednesday, this coming Monday, I have to host an assembly in front of the whole school, and so I just had to send an email reminding teachers that it's happening and that I'll put stuff in their boxes this weekend or this Friday. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that means tomorrow I have to make 460 packets. And I'm like,
oh God.
Yeah. Cause you know, I've been like, I got time. And I'm like, oh no, I don't.
I don't have time. Yep. I feel that.
My brain is just kind of all over the place right now and I'm just tired and I just need a week off to catch up with stuff.
I feel that. What's funny is the picture that I was going to paint is very much why my brain's fried, but I figured it was a mini-sode story. So hopefully at this point, y'all have heard in a mini-sode about my new job. Mm-hmm. But this week, it's just, especially this week at work, like panorama work, mm-hmm. It's just been nonstop go, go, go. Like, thankfully, tomorrow and Friday, it's movies and it's like chill, except for freaking today during our event, our projector started making a noise and my IT guy was there. And I was like, hey, this is a noise that keeps happening. It's not great. And he was like, this is something that I'm going to have to get this company out for. And there's a chance they're going to tell me that they have to take our projector. So then we won't have a projector. So then I'll have to cancel shit. Yeah. So I'm just dealing with work. Also, Lady Preacher podcast is back. So I'm dealing with more podcast editing, with audiobook editing. Mm-hmm. I really hope that we get a mini-sode out before this episode of me explaining that. Otherwise, that's going to be what?
Right.
And then just trying to live life.
All good things, but all exhausting things.
Yeah, man. Like 8:30 hit and I almost texted you to be like, are you, are can we do this sooner? Because I feel like I'm about to pass out. But I was like, no, it's fine. I needed to continue editing. I have 18 chapters I have to get done, and I am working on chapter 15 right now.
Okay.
So, and at 8:30, I was definitely on like chapter 12. So.
Okay, sounds good.
I needed to do that. But yes. Body wise, I was like, can I go to bed?
Fair. All right. Well, fair. Let's see if we can make this one somewhat quick, even though I don't know how, but we're
trying. Oh, there is no way that this one's going to be quick, especially since you have strong feelings about it.
Yeah, I do.
If you didn't, I feel like we could make it quick.
I feel but like my when, strong feelings, though, are going to be summed up in that sucked.
No, I have a feeling I'll probably forget to say something and you'll jump in and be like, no, Brie,
look at this. Happened like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was kind of pissed off watching the movie, so I don't remember it super well. So I probably won't.
I know. So now my question is are you counting it as you read it first?
No, because I still remember. Like, I knew the plot and everything. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
just wondering.
I feel like my answer would still be the same of what it is.
Okay.
If I had actually rewatched it.
All right.
But let us get to that. So you guys, our trigger warning is there is a death cancer from cancer in this story. It's the premise mm-hmm. of the whole story. Mm-hmm. So our synopsis is when Jerry, the husband of Holly Kennedy, dies from an illness, she loses the love of her life. Knowing how hard Holly will take his death, Jerry plans ahead. Beginning on her 30th birthday, for the movie. Okay. She receives the first in a series of letters written by him designed to erase her grief and encourage her to move forward into a new life. Mm-hmm. Okay. Author Selena
Ahern. Whoa. Cecilia?
Yep. Cecilia Ahern. Director Richard Lag. Great.
Gravness.
You should hear
me. He has done so many of these that you would think you would know his name by now.
I don't think I've ever read his name before.
You have.
Whoa. You should hear me in class. Okay, how would you say this girl's name? Okay. A-I-R-A-H.
Ira?
Okay, it's Ira. Every time I sub in that class, she's like telling me I'm saying it wrong. And I'm like, what do you mean? And so it's like a joke now. So when I say it right, she's like, you said my name right. And I was like, yay. And then there's a kid in Riley's class who, oh my gosh. So, you know, I'm a long-term sub in that class. And I get his name wrong every time. And he has a twin now in that class. And they're identical. And I'm like, so now I'm going to get your name wrong and then call you your brother's name. Or I'm going to
fix you up. Like,
Yeah. But no, you should hear me say, like, when I call roll and stuff, I'm like, the kids are like, can you freaking read? Like, what the heck is wrong with you?
Are you a teacher? Do you need to go back to school?
Oh, I'm like, you guys, I can read. I just can't do names. Names are just, I give up on names, you guys. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, the director also wrote it, and so did Steven Rogers. So Captain America made this suck. So great job.
Yep.
All right. So the book came out in 2003 and the movie came out December 21st, 2007. That's 4-year difference.
Oh, wow. That's actually a shorter time frame than I thought it was.
I agree. What'd you do first?
I watched it first forever mm-hmm. ago.
Mm-hmm. I also watched it first forever ago. Actually, this was funny enough. There's this one particular fight that I remember really well that Cameron mm-hmm. and I had when we were dating mm-hmm. and involved this movie.
What?
So I don't really remember exactly how, but I remember I wanted to watch this movie and him or his sister and I were getting along really well. And so she was hanging out and she was watching this movie. I was like, Cameron, let's just like hang out with her and watch the movie. And he was like, no. I don't remember really why or what. Mm-hmm. He and his sister just did not get along in high school. Yeah. And then I can't remember if his cousin was already there at the house with friends, like mutual friends of theirs, or if because I was hanging out with his sister, he invited them over. But all I remember is I was sitting on the couch with Danny Kay and Cameron was in the other room with Seth and his cousins and friends. And I was pissed. Mad. And then as I was like, you know what, whatever, about to get over it or go talk to him about it, he wasn't there because he left. Oh my gosh. I was so livid. Like, I don't even remember the premise of how this fight even started, but I remember it involved me watching this movie with Danny. So, you know what? Maybe I did read it first because I don't know how into the movie I was because I was so angry.
Yeah, you were pissed.
I was pissed. And I was like, what the? I was so
That's
mad.
Hilarious.
And so we just had a huge fight. And then I remember, like, he got in my car afterwards and I was angry driving. And I was like, you know, speeding and not doing good choices.
Yeah.
And he legit was scared because, like, I was driving like a crazy lady and I just pulled over and I started yelling at him. I was like, you don't ever leave me when we're hanging out, blah, 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 blah. I was kind of a crazy girl. But that was the fight that my mother-in-law told him, like, what did you do to our alley? And he's like, it's not our alley, she's my alley. Like, because she Danielle always took my side on things and I loved it. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so that's my memory with this movie.
What's funny is if you look at our schedule thing, I put a movie question mark because I knew that I had watched bits and pieces of it. But I don't think I actually like sat down and watched the whole thing. But then when I watched it this time, I like, as it went, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. Oh yeah, I remember that too. Oh yeah. So then I was like, okay, I think I did watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just remember my mom wanting to watch it. And so I was like, this premise is dumb.
The premise is good. The execution was bad. Oh my gosh. All right. Oh, what are your thoughts? Oh, dumb.
I was going to say, I don't think I don't like this story. Like,
oh my
I get how it could be good, but I really think that the book did not need to be as long as it was, you know?
No. No, I don't know.
Like, no, I loved it. Because it just, it felt like it was, to me, it felt very redundant in some parts of how she was feeling. And I was like, okay, cool. And same with the movie. Although the movie was like, should we just say it here? The movie, she is not written at all how she is in the book. Like, so it was completely,
any of the characters are.
No, it was so bad. I was like, it's like they took the premise of the book and put that in the movie and that's it.
Yeah. It was not good.
It was completely different.
I think the reason I don't think it, the book just drawled on and on and on is because in my head, there was no plot to this. And so I really liked it because it legit was, this is the year. Like, this is what you go through the year after. And there's no like, oh, I'm going to date this guy. Oh, no, I'm not. Because there really wasn't a point. There was, I mean, oh my gosh, I'm kind of like feeling flirty, but like I feel bad about that. But there was never like a building up to something. It was literally just linear. This is the what's going on. And so that's why I was really into it. But I have experience in this, so that might be why it's different for us.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is when I was reading it, I thought you were going to hate it because there were times when I felt like she wasn't grieving. And I was like, what the fuck? You went from being this wife who's like devastated to this wife who's like, oh, this guy's hitting on me. I should go get dinner with him. Oh, shoot. I'm doing this. I shouldn't do this. I was like, girl.
So I feel like, because you had said something like that before I started it, and I feel like if I didn't have kids, her and I would probably be in the same boat. because I'm not alone. I have my two kids and I have things that like I have to focus on. Whereas she literally like, I feel like if I had no kids, I would be her where I'm like in the house. Like, what's the point of living? And then you just got nothing. You come home to nothing every day. Yeah. And that would just be really depressing. Whereas I come home to chaos and I'm just so tired. I can't imagine more. And so that's what I think. So I think, I mean, I can't say how accurate it is because I have not experienced that being lonely and stuff, but I feel like it could be an accurate thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Potentially, obviously. Like, I don't know, but I just reading it, I was like, But I just also feel like the year went, it dragged so, it dragged for me so much.
I was so it was a hard was over.
Book for me. I kept counting down.
I was like, that's not a full year. Okay. Excuse me, you died in February and you only gave me till December.
You know what's hilarious? After the last letter, I was like, because I physically read it. And so I saw that there was a huge ass chunk of book left after the first letter or that last letter. And I was like, the fuck? I was like, it should be over right now. Excuse me.
All right. So why'd we pick it?
I picked it because, well, first off, February, I figured it was a good romantic movie. Well, okay. Obviously not romantic movie, but like, you know, good Valentine's movie.
It's a romantic movie.
Yeah, it's a rom-com. That's pretty much it. Okay. There's no other like, there's no other defining like, I had to pick this one because of this.
Okay. Sounds good.
I wish there was.
All right. No worries. I got some super fun facts. All right, so during the filming of the strip sequence, Gerard Butler's suspenders hit Hilary Swank on the forehead and she received a cut and had to be taken to the hospital where she received several stitches. That would be that sucks. It's already an awkward moment.
Yeah, for real. For
Holly, designs Jerry's urn at his request. Though not mentioned, she makes it to match his guitar case, which can be seen in the corner of her apartment. Thank you.
As someone who is musically inclined, the second I saw it, I was like, oh, she made it look like a guitar case.
Okay. Hilary Swank was cast as Directors Richards. Wait, was cast as director who just wanted audiences. That's worded really weird. So basically she was cast because the director wanted audience to see her in a lighter side. And I'm like, this is not a light movie. I thought that was the stupidest.
Well, it's because, have you seen Freedom Riders? I love that movie. That is a very like super serious role that she's in.
Oh.
And so I wouldn't say this movie's lighter in like subject matter, but her character is very much more lighter than Freedom Riders.
Okay. So Hillary's official,
I feel like you would love Freedom Riders.
Okay.
It's one of those stories about like teacher goes into a class, the class is a group full of dipshits.
Who's the main?
Oh wait, you absolutely have seen it because I think it's Patrick Dempsey who's her love interest in that. Now I'm feeling like I'm insane. Hold on. Yep, Patrick Dempsey's in it.
Did we watch this at school?
I don't think I did. I again watched it with my mom.
So Hillary's official drink of choice was Diet Coke, and a bottle had to be digitally removed because she left it on set.
Yeah, there Coke would not be happy.
Not a lot of fun facts for this movie, you guys. And then production had to be stopped because Hillary attended an eye injury. She got butter in her eye due to a freak corn. What fact? What is that?
I'm like, did no you idea.
Like, is it like popcorn? Did they, what? Freak corn? Freak corn accident. Oh, maybe a freak corn accident. Maybe that was real corn.
That's what I'm assuming. But in my head, I think it's corn on the cob.
Well, yeah.
That's probably. Maybe. Yeah.
Due to this,
that's what I'm assuming.
as a buttery eye winky blinky.
Poor girl.
She had so many injuries on this movie. All right. Anyways, that's it. That's all I got for this one. Mm-hmm.
And we should start with me because in the movie, we actually get like Holly and Jerry before Jerry dies. And like they sit there and they're having an argument over children, which was also stupid because in the book, they were on the same page about children. Yes. Whereas in the movie, they were not on the same page about children. And it got brought up at a dinner with Holly's mom. And so she was like, what the hell? Why are you talking about kids in front of my mom? This is ridiculous. Because now she's going to be like, when am I getting a grandkid? Blah, blah, blah. And then Holly also just has absolutely no idea what she wants in essentially life. Whereas that's really not how she is in the book. And then Holly's parents, we also find out in this whole fight argument scene that Holly's parent, her mom, doesn't like Jerry in the slightest.
So stupid.
And now you can go on, Allie.
So book kicks off. Holly loses her husband to a brain tumor. She's at the place in her life where she's just like, or in her grief where she's just lying on the couch all the time. Her mom's encouraging like her to get out. Come on. And hey, at least come over here. We have an envelope on it. It says the list. And this kind of shakes her back to a memory of her and her husband. And they always joke around and are like saying to put stuff on the list. For example, there's this memory of them arguing about who was going to turn out the light because they always forget to turn it off when they get in bed. And so that put it on the list.
So Jerry does end up dying. But then we actually get to see Jerry's funeral where we see that Holly designed his urn, which I guess because we don't see his funeral, who's to say she didn't in the book either?
Yep, I guess so.
Yeah, maybe. And there's a bartender there named Daniel when Daniel's not even supposed to be really a thing until way later in the book. Mm-hmm. And Holly's sister, who was just in Australia, shows up for the funeral. I was like, I'm so happy to be here. Whereas that does not happen in the book. Mm-hmm. And you also find out at the funeral that Jerry wrote to the sister and said that you need to get to the funeral.
Yeah, which is so stupid.
Uh-huh. Because basically in the movie, you find out that Jerry wrote to a bunch of other family members, too. Or friends letters as well, not just Holly. Whereas in the book, he strictly did it to his wife because
that's all the freaking energy he had.
Duh. And basically right at her husband's funeral, Daniel's flirting with her already.
God, I hated him in the movie.
Yeah, he was horrible in the movie. I did not like him in the movie. Mm-hmm. And Denise is hitting on every single person at the funeral.
She was funny, though.
Yeah, she was. She was.
She had her saying, and, like, three questions for everybody.
Do you have a job? Are you single? Are you gay? Yep. And then also, essentially, Holly's mom owns the freaking bar where she ends up having Jerry's funeral.
Yeah.
Which is fucking weird.
And her parents... Yeah, it's just her mom, whereas in the book, she has very loving parents that loved Jerry, and both mom and dad.
Family.
She has a family, yeah. It's like only her and Kira in the movie.
Yeah, whereas she's got three brothers as well in the book. But yeah, now you can go on.
Okay, so her friend Sharon came over and kind of like kicked her back in gear, and Holly went and took a shower, but she got lost in a daydream, which gave Sharon time to clean the house. And then they were hanging out and just talking, and she ended up feeling better because she wasn't all alone. And the next day she went down to her hairdresser and he fixed her up and they had a good time chatting. And then she went to her mom's and they talked for a while. And finally she got the confidence and asked for the envelope.
That does not happen.
She got the envelope. And the envelope was filled with smaller envelopes. And each envelope had a month on it. And there was a note from Jerry. And it said that she is not allowed to open them until that month. And so it was already April because she had been, you know, woe is me for forever. And not really woe is me. She's been grieving forever for a whole month already. So she opened March's and it says, save yourself the trouble and buy a bedside lamp. P.S. I love you.
So in the movie, the letters don't get. I thought he was so smart delivering those letters to her parents' house, knowing that she would be so deep in grief that she probably wouldn't have checked the mail for the letters. I was like, that was a good call. Good call. Mm-hmm, so smart. Mm-hmm. In the movie, he has a cake delivered on her 30th birthday with a little voice recording of him and is like, keep an eye out for the letters.
Can we just talk about how this means? Well, no, never mind. I guess not.
Hmm.
Well, yeah,
I do it.
I was going to say, this means he'd have to tell the cake company, here's this recording, put it in the box. Yeah. But then I remember, no, because
he talked to the mom. Yeah.
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 But mm-hmm. I like that she's in charge of it. So it gives her the opportunity to, one, look forward to the, you know, first of every month. Mm-hmm. And two, it gives her the chance to be like, do I want to listen to Jerry? Do I want to just open them all? Like, what do mm-hmm. I want to do? Like, mm-hmm. so it gives her a chance. Whereas there's even not even a rhyme or reason of when he sends them in the other one. So she's not even like,
no,
expecting it. She has no idea.
She's just like sitting there kind of waiting.
Yeah. There's no idea when the end is. There's no idea. Like that would be mm-hmm. almost more exhausting because you're just sitting there every day and then every day you get disappointed because you didn't get something.
Well, what's stupid is in the movie that he basically said it's like it's his sign. Like just know when the letter comes, it's a sign that I'm watching over you. But it's like, dude,
and then it's done. Not watching over you. What the?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, she has this memory of when he passed and how she didn't want to leave him. So she's like, wants to be there for his last breath. And then it didn't officially hit her that he was gone until she was getting his death certificate. And she sees all the young couples getting their marriage licenses and the old couples sitting there for Social Security. And it's just like she was supposed to be one of those people. And then flash forward. And she calls Sharon and she's so excited. She's like, oh my gosh, guess what Jerry did? And then she's like, come over as quickly as possible. So they hang up and Sharon shares the news with her husband, John. And John and Jerry were best friends. And they kind of just sit there not really knowing what to think, like if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, when she gets a letter, everyone's there and everyone's so excited and like, oh, Jerry.
I know. Throughout the whole book, I was trying to think if I would want this because would love it while it's happening. But then it's almost like you're losing him all over again.
Again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what Sharon and John were also thinking. So.
Yeah. Well, I also think too, I think he knew his wife. I think he knew that she would need that push to start living without him.
That makes sense.
So it probably works for her, but it probably would not for others.
Exactly. Okay. So in the book, she went to Sharon and John and they eventually got excited too. They discovered that there's 10 envelopes, which is one for every month of the year that's left. And Sharon said, you haven't opened April yet, and it's already April. So she opened it, and it told her to buy a nice dress because she's going to need it for next month. This was also based on a memory that she had earlier where she had bought this really nice white dress. And at first, Jerry was frustrated because it cost too much, but then he's like, whatever. But then she spills wine on it, and they came up with this inside joke that if only she had gotten milk, it wouldn't have shown because it was a white dress.
I forgot to also mention the whole entire book takes place in Ireland.
Oh, yes, yes.
Whereas in the movie, it's definitely America. And she took Jerry away from Ireland.
Yes.
And that's why his parents hate her.
Yes.
But well, the rest of that does not happen.
You're right. Yep. So Holly got a phone call from Kira, who was a sister or her sister, and she came home from Australia. And they're having a family get together. And Holly was not looking forward to it because her family get togethers generally were not great because none of the family really got along very well. But they all got together and it ended up being okay. So they have an older brother, Richard, and his wife punished him and his wife punished their Holly's niece and nephews like more than she thought that they should. Like they were very strict. And then her next oldest brother is Jack, and they're basically best friends. And then she has a younger brother, Declan, who's super into film and band.
Hilarious.
And
you say Declan?
Yeah.
I say Declan.
Oh, the audiobook reader also said Declan.
Oh.
And she was a cute little Irish girl.
I was just going to say, I wonder if that's the Irish way to say it.
I've never heard Declan before, even in American. I've heard Declan in American, too.
Really? I've heard Declan.
I've never heard Declan before.
I've known Declans before.
I have not. That's funny.
Except for now, we've just said it so many times that it doesn't sound like a word to me now.
I know.
I'm like, we're both wrong. That's a made up word.
Looks like it. Anyway, so Kira is like this wild girl that does all these crazy things. Like she gets a tattoo every time she goes to a new place and all this sort of stuff. And so Holly's birthday was brought up and she's like, I'm not doing anything. I don't want to do anything.
That does not happen.
Holly went to get her hair done and her hairdresser, Leo, surprised her with cake for her birthday. And a bunch of her friends and sisters came over and Declan, who was making a movie of like this for his film class on pub life or party life, party girls or something like that. So they toasted Holly and gave presents and Kira gave her a vibrator. She was so excited to give it to her. And someone else gave her like a weekend away. Another gave them a picture of all of them together and they drank a bunch. And then they went out and tried to get in a pub, which only allowed like famous people or really like high class up there people. And then they blacked out. So they don't really know what happened. But they woke up the next afternoon and felt horrible. Welcome to 30.
Mm-hmm. What's hilarious is I always thought it was made up that alcohol hit differently at like different ages. Alcohol hit me differently at 25 and then even worse at 30.
Yep.
I was like, the hell is this? I hate it.
It's the worst.
Yep. But in the movie, they do at least go to that club and pretend that Holly's a Finnish princess to get in. But then they end up at Holly's mom's bar where she pukes on Daniel in a closet. And you also then find out that Daniel's ex left him for a woman in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman she left him for was also one of his ex-fiancés.
So stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when she wakes up the next morning, all like, I'm dying from hangover. Sharon calls her and they're like getting mad at each other for being loud on the phone. And then she's like, but did you check the mail? You might have your next letter. And she jumps out of bed and runs to go get the mail. Because I'm like, no way. If you were
magically over.
I was just going to say, if you were really that hungover and like, oh, stop talking on the phone because you're yelling. Yeah. You're not jumping out of that bed to go get the letter.
Nope. Oh, gosh, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jack invited Holly out to a club where Declan is playing with his band. And she didn't want to go, but she did. She wanted to be supportive. And there she met the new owner, Daniel. And she found out that there's also a recording deal there. So she's got excited for Declan. She kind of felt bad, though, because she never got into her brother's passion. But then he started playing and she's like, oh, I don't like this music. She stayed for a couple songs and then went home. And she's at the kitchen table waiting for midnight so that she can open the May letter. And eventually it came and she opened it. And Jerry wanted her to do karaoke. And she absolutely hates karaoke. When her friends found out, they were laughing so hard. And last time she fell and she sings horrible. And it's a horrible memory. So why the heck would Jerry make her do this?
Basically, the next letter she got ended up being three of the letters from the book smushed into one. It was like, get yourself a lamp. Do this. And guess what? You're going to karaoke.
So Richard came over and gave her an orchid for her birthday. And she felt really awkward because they never quite got along. It's kind of weird that he's doing this. So they were talking, just kind of weird, small chat. And then she's asked how the kids are. And he's like, they're good, you know, crazy, though. So you're probably happy you never have to deal with crazy kids. And she was kind of dumbfounded that he had said this. And she got him out of her house as quickly as she could and called Sharon and her mom complaining.
What's funny is the whole entire time I could see how Richard was taken as this dick in the book, but I just felt like he was a socially awkward dude who like just said things thinking it, like it came from a place of like, I don't want to say kindness, but he was just like, you know, trying to be like, hey, here's a bright side to this. At least you don't have to deal with these insane assholes. Yeah. But instead it came across like, haha, you and Jerry don't have kids.
I felt that it definitely, he didn't mean it bad. But
the whole family just kept taking it back.
I mean, I would be pissed too if someone said that to me. But
yeah,
what we find out in the end, it really was like he was hurting too, and so so that was kind of his
at least coping.
So, but she doesn't know that right now.
No, she does not, and that brother doesn't exist in the movie.
So. She was talking to Sharon about karaoke night, and eventually Sharon found out that, or found the number for the place because she's like, oh, darn, I've never heard of this place. I can't find the number. And Sharon's like, I'll find it, and got her the new place. And she struck up the courage to call this place, but she pretended she was Sharon because she was embarrassed, I guess. I don't know. It was the weirdest thing. And it ended up being
so fucking stupid.
It was so dumb. Like, what are you embarrassed about? Like,
yeah.
Your name's going on the list anyways.
These were the parts of the book, Allie, where I was like, this is the dumbest fucking book I've ever read.
Oh, no. Okay, well, it ended up being a karaoke competition. And she's like, nope. And he's like, you can call back another time, though, but it's already booked. And, she was talking to Daniel because the club is on the top floor of Hogan's, which is the restaurant or the pub. And he's like, I'll call you back if there's any cancellations. And they called her back. But he's like, oh, just kidding. This Holly was already submitted months ago. So Jerry's making sure she's doing it.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in the movie. In the movie, she just has to go to karaoke night at her mom's pub.
Yep. And she does so pretty easily.
Yeah. So easily. She like sits there and argues with the letter. And then she's going.
Yeah. Whereas the book, Sharon, Denise, and Holly all meet up and they're trying to figure out what song she should sing. And Sharon came up with a song that they had in their head years ago. They went on vacation somewhere and it's like inappropriate. Holly's like, absolutely not. But now it's stuck in her head. But then she goes to her family's house to have dinner. And her younger brother made note that she was going to be in the karaoke competition because, you know, he plays his band there. So he saw. And she's trying to be like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. And then the family's like, what day? And she gives them the wrong dates. And he's like, actually, it's this day. And so now all her family is coming, even Richard, which they found really weird. But OK, he's coming. And so the night finally comes. They all show up. She's panicking and she figures out she's going to be number 3 on the list. So she goes and hides in the bathroom. The DJ called her, but they had to skip her because she's not showing up. Eventually, Sharon goes into the bathroom and gets her out of there and says, you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but I know you're going to regret it if you don't. So she goes on the stage after having a full blown panic attack, but then she sings and the crowd is super into it and they're involved and they're singing too. And she is awful. So she doesn't move on to round 2. And she's so excited. She's cheering. And Richard's like, what happened? I voted for you. Why are you excited that you didn't make it? And
I thought it was sweet that he voted.
I know. It was so cute. And then her friend Denise ended up hooking up with the DJ, Tom.
What's funny is in the movie, I didn't feel like he was a DJ, Tom.
Yeah, I didn't either. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like he was just the karaoke host.
Right.
And Holly just gets up and sings. And when she's singing, she just sings to an empty bar and sees Jerry just sitting there.
Yep. She sings some slow song, doesn't she?
Yeah, I thought that was a weird choice.
Yeah.
Oh, also, also at this point in the movie, I was like, what in the fuck? She literally carries Jerry's urn everywhere. And they like buy a whiskey for him and put it on his urn.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I noticed that.
And it's not like an easy urn to carry. It's this huge ass box. Like at first I just thought she was carrying a box everywhere. And I was like, what the hell? And then it clicked. I was like, wait, that's his urn.
Oh my gosh.
What? And so, yeah, she carries it literally everywhere she goes. Almost like we didn't know that she was grieving.
Right. So it's June's letter, and it's harder than Holly expected. He wants her to get rid of all of his things, and he included a list of all his stuff and who he wants things to go to. And it took her a few days. Jack came and helped her, and eventually she did it. And she gets a call from Declan and says, hey, my movie won the student awards, and he invited her and her friends to go watch it at Hogan's because they're the stars of it, and they go watch it.
Person who helps her get rid of Jerry's clothes is Daniel in the movie.
Yeah.
And then there was no home movie in the movie, so that part doesn't happen. Oh, but also at this point in the movie, her mom throws a fit because she thinks it's dumb that Jerry wrote her letters, because she's like, you're not able to grieve properly because you're holding on to the hope of these letters.
Holly gets to the club a little early because she has the wrong time, and Daniel's there, and he and her just chat for a little bit, and eventually it comes out that Jerry has passed away, and he talks with her a little bit about his life and everything. And so then everybody shows up and the movie starts, and it's exposing them for the wild night they had at Holly's birthday. And the girls were so embarrassed. There were several shots that were caught where Holly was just sad, and that hit her hard. So after the movie, she went and cried, and Daniel was reassuring her that nobody noticed. It's okay.
None of that happens.
So she gets a phone call from Sharon or Denise, one of them, saying, did you see the newspaper? She runs by a newspaper because the newspaper guy, or she has to buy all of them because the newspaper guy's a jerk, and he's like, this isn't a library. So she doesn't know which newspaper it's in, so she buys all these newspapers, and then she sees the candy, so she's kind of like, I want some candy too. And so then, like, but he doesn't give her a bag, and then she's like, can I have a bag? And it's like this whole jumble. And then the guy, when she's leaving, because her bag ripped, helped her pick it up, and he's kind of flirting with her, and asks her to coffee, and then he sees her ring, and she's like, oh my gosh. Or he says, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. And he kind of left. And she felt sad, but not at the same time, because she's not
left.
Ready. Well, he left. So she felt kind of sad. She goes and has breakfast and finds out that the documentary is going to be played on TV again. And she goes to yell at Declan. But then he accidentally let it slip that Kira knew about this. So she goes to yell at Kira, but then she finds her sitting on the ground crying over a photo album.
None of that happens.
So her and Kira talk, and Matthew was who she loved in Australia, and they had gotten into a fight, and that's why she came home. But she never thought that they would stay broken up, and they comforted each other.
None of that happens.
Holly was in the park. She saw her brother Richard with his kids, and he just seems different. And he calls his kid Timmy, which he never does. It's always Timothy. And he fed them McDonald's, which he never does.
Brother doesn't exist in the movie, so that doesn't happen.
Nope. So then we have a flashback to Jerry going and buying holiday tickets to Spain. So there were random chapters where instead of focused on Holly as our main character, we got different people. So this one, this main chapter was the travel agent. She was just having a really, really bad day and just miserable and hates her job. But then this guy who looks like near death, because he was, comes in and he wants to buy tickets for his wife and her two friends to go to Spain. And it was just like this interaction that made this woman's day. Like, oh my gosh, I needed that to remind myself how precious life is and everything like that. Well, flash forward to present, and it's July's card, and Holly opens it, and she has to go find this travel agent. And the travel agent told her everything that Jerry had done and said and everything. So it was like an extra special treat because it's not just a letter. It was a whole story involving Jerry too. And she went and met with her friends and let them know Jerry bought us all tickets to Spain. And they commented on her garden because it was starting to look better because her little front garden was a mess because Jerry usually took care of it. But now it's looking nice. And she's like, it's probably just the neighbors. And when the girls left, she brought her neighbors a bottle of wine saying, thank you for taking care of my garden. And they're like, it's not us. And she was like, weird. And she went door to door trying to figure out who it was. And no one had any idea.
So we don't get the Jerry going to the travel agent. And Sharon's husband goes with Holly to talk to the travel agent based off of the letter she got. And then the travel agent just like grabs a box of tissues and holds it out to Holly as she realizes who Holly is. And there's no. Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay.
Oh, gosh. So,
oh, also, it's not to Spain. It's to Ireland in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Because they are not in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Which, that would suck. I'm sorry. Like, if I met you in Ireland and you're sending me to Ireland, I'd be pissed. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would, too. I would too. Oh, probably not. I wouldn't even tell my friends who got tickets, too. Like, we're all eating this.
Sucks. All right, so so she gets a phone call and it's her sister saying it's my birthday in 2 weeks and I want to invite you all and your friends to come to a barbecue and invite Daniel too because he's super cute and I want to have his babies. And Holly calls them all and lets them know. And she asks if when she called Daniel, she asked if the bartending gig is still available because he had brought it up back on the night of Declan's movie. Because Holly has been out of work, like, for months now. And so, she asked if it's still available.
That does not happen.
Nope. They all get to Kira's birthday, and they have a good time. It turns out the job that Holly asked for was for Kira. So Kira is now working as a bartender. The party's going on, and then Matthew shows up and surprises Kira and apologizes, and they get back together. And they're hanging out, and Holly starts to get to know Daniel more, and he shared about his fiance and how she cheated on him.
And we already found out that Daniel's ex left him for a woman.
The girls got ready and they went on the holiday the next day. And when they were at the airport, they found the Barbie crew, as they called them, because they're like these little blondes that love them. They're fangirling over them because of the documentary that Declan had made. And Denise had to sit with them on the plane and she was pissed because the other two didn't have to. And once they landed, they had a really nice holiday, except for one near-death experience where they had gone too far out at the sea because they were like floating on their boogie boards or whatever they're called. And they were just chatting. And then they were rescued and it ended up being fine. And then Holly opened another letter from Jerry and it was a word of a secret spot where she could see dolphins. So she went and watched the dolphins one night and then they returned home.
So in the movie before her trip to Ireland, Holly has a whole conversation with her mom who is like, she basically has a conversation about like, you have to realize that I know what you're going through, just not in the sense that my husband died, but your father left me. So I get it. And it's hard to hold on to hope. It's better to just move on with your life. And Holly's like, nah, Ma, I'm going to Ireland. I don't care. So then they get to their cabin in Ireland, and when they get there, Jerry writes Sharon a letter. There's a letter waiting there for Sharon. So then Denise gets all excited and runs upstairs and is like, I bet he wrote me a letter too. Guess what? He did. And then they all go out to a bar, and first Holly's sad because Jerry didn't write her a letter, which when he started this whole thing, it was for her. So why did he write it for her two friends? Right. But anyway, so then they go to a bar and Sharon and Denise are like urging Holly to go hit on this guy.
That pissed me off. And so bad.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, hold on. They would never do this in the book. But also it's freaking Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So I was like, yeah, I would urge you to because he's good looking. Go get him, girl. So she goes and she talks to him at the bar and he's like been singing for everyone. And so then she has like a flashback of Jerry. So then she leaves all sad. But then the next day the girls go fishing. This is where they get stranded at sea, but really they're on the lake because they end up losing their oars.
And they were like, okay, one of us should just swim to shore and get help. And I'm like, or swim 5 feet over and get your oar.
Like, I'm like, that's all I was thinking too. I was like, you guys are not stranded. What the fuck? But this is where Sharon gets to tell them that she's pregnant and Denise gets to tell them that she's engaged. Mm-hmm. And so this all happens on their trip.
Yep.
Then Jeffrey Dean Morgan comes and saves them because he's also a lake patrol guy who saw that they needed help. So then the girls are like, ooh, come over for dinner, and basically trying to urge Holly to get with this guy. But then Holly starts making out with him and then has sex with him.
Yeah, what the?
Yeah. And then after they have sex, she finds out that this guy knew Jerry.
Yeah. Like a tangled web of disaster.
Yep. And then after that, we get to see how Jerry and Holly met in Ireland, because the next day when she wakes up, she went to his parents or something like that. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character basically kind of convinced her to. And so she went and talked to them, and she went to his little hideout place at his parents' house and remembered how they met. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
For that bit.
All right. Well, she's back home now in the book, and she's trying to catch the little leprechaun, she keeps calling him, who's fixing her garden. She parks her car around the block because she realizes he doesn't come when she's parked at home. So she sees this little boy with the lawnmower and jumps out and says, ha, I got you. And the dad flips out on her because he's scared, or she scared his son. And it turns out that wasn't the leprechaun anyway. So she just made a kid cry for no reason.
Yep. That doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. So Denise calls her up and is like, hey, cancel all your plans. Come to dinner with us and a group of friends tomorrow. And she's like, I don't really want to, but Daniel's going to be there. So she's not going to be the only single guy. So, okay, fine. So they come up with a game plan to get out of there quickly if they need to. And then dinner, it turns out it's the announcement where Denise and her boyfriend Tom now say that they're getting married, and Sharon won't toast with alcohol because she's pregnant. And it hit Daniel hard because Tom was his best friend and it just reminded him of his cheating fiance. And it hit Holly hard because she's bummed that her friends are moving on with their lives, which makes her feel really guilty that she's even feeling sad about that. But it's midnight now, so she and Daniel got out of there so that she can open her next letter.
That does not happen. And then I hate how Holly acts after this and avoids her friends.
Yeah, I can see it
in the book. You're like, yeah, they all suck.
I don't think they suck, but I see from being very like just being down and not wanting to see others happy.
Did it for like basically the whole entire pregnancy.
She did it. Well, okay, so she probably didn't tell them till like 3 months, right?
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
So it was probably like at least a month or two. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I'm like, I could see it for a month, maybe. But then, you know.
Someone to snap her.
And then there's even like a chapter where she's like, I know I'm being petty and I really do want to go and talk to her, but it's too late. So now I'm not going to go talk to her. I was like, girl, just suck it up. Go talk to her.
All right. So in the book, the letter that she opened was basically saying, Holly, reach for the stars. And so like, don't stop, like stop sitting on the couch and go get your potential job and your dream job and all this sort of stuff. So she decided it was time to job search. So she went to the library, looked for a job, and there she ran into Richard, and he was on the computer too. So he's like, oh, here, just use my computer. And she did. But then she went to leave and she had to pay for her computer time, but she was €5 short. So she didn't know who to call. She eventually called mom to come help bail her out of $5, and she just felt horrible. She went back to her mom's house and cried and snuggled with her. And then Kira comes and announces that her and Matthew are moving back to Australia, and Holly stayed the night that night because she was just so sad.
So when Holly gets back home from Ireland, she finds out that her mom was helping with the letters and was the one like putting them in the leather jacket that came back after being dry cleaned and shipping with the cake and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I said that here because that's kind of her getting comfort from her mom, because the rest of that does not happen.
Okay.
I mean, his next letter is to get a job that she loves, but she's like, what? I could never.
Well, Holly went home and soon discovered that the leprechaun was Richard. He's been doing gardening and everything, but he didn't want her to know. So she stayed back. And when he left, she followed him and they got to a little cafe and she goes in and he ends up crying because he lost his job in April and it's now September. And Meredith, his wife, left and took the kids. And Holly convinced him to go back and live with mom, stop paying to live at just a B&B and just go live with mom for free. And he's like, okay, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does not happen. Oh, I guess the other thing with the mom telling her about the letters is she gave her the last one and was like, this is the last one.
Okay. So Holly ended up going and doing an interview for this magazine marketing thing that she had no experience in. But her husband did the interview, but her and the interviewer bonded because at one point she brought up that her husband died and he shared that his wife died. And other than that, didn't go well. And she went to Hogan's and ran into Daniel and Kira. And Kira got demoted because she made bad choices and she got angry at a customer and dumped a drink on him.
That's amazing. I love that she did that. Essentially, her passion in the movie is designing shoes. I think that's so dumb.
I agree. Well, after she went home, John came over and was there because Sharon and Holly have not talked since the dinner when they announced that they were pregnant. They talked for a while how Holly needs to just keep living life. And Jerry was John's best friend since childhood, so it's hard for him too. And Holly realized how she's been acting and went to the hospital with John, and which Sharon was there for a checkup, and they were reunited as best friends. And she got home and found a message on the answering machine that she got the job.
What's funny is in the movie, it's Denise who she really fucked up the friendship with. Like, she was supposed to be maid of honor, but then she stopped talking to her and just like ignored her. So then she was like, yeah, you can't be maid of honor because, well, you're not there.
Right.
And then after she decides that she's going to design shoes, she goes in. Which, how, if you have not been talking to this woman for forever, how do you know where she's going to be trying on a wedding dress? And also, why is she only there by herself if she's also got other bridesmaids and stuff?
Right.
And then she's like, I want to design your shoes. And that's how they
make up again. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Richard came and visited Holly with the kids and they had a heart to heart. And Holly was really starting to like her big brother. And she realized how her and Jack always got along so well. But he hasn't really been there a whole lot since Jerry died. Like, they used to hang out weekly and he's been there a couple times now. It was her first day of work. And she felt sad because Jerry and her always had this tradition on her first day of like breakfast and all this sort of stuff. But it wasn't happening this time around. But she went in determined and she worked through her lunch, which never happened because she loved the job.
And that does not happen in the movie.
Nope. Later that week, she went with her family to the airport to say bye to Kira. And they went back to the house to have dinner. And Jack kept poking fun at Richard, which Holly realized was normal for them. But it's kind of messed up. Or Jack's just being extra rude. And she stood up for Richard, which shocked Jack.
And that does not happen.
Nope. Holly was really into her job and decided to see if Hogan's wanted to do an ad in the magazine. She called Daniel and he said, yeah, even let her know about an open house or grand reopening thing that they're doing. And she talked to her boss and her boss is like, that's great. I want you to do it and cover it and write an article for me. And she's super nervous and she calls Daniel and asks for help. And then she goes to meet him after work. But then she starts feeling guilty because she's overthinking if is this a date or not.
Basically, the whole movie is this a date or not with Holly and Daniel?
Yeah. So her coworkers ask her to come to an astrology meeting before she leaves, which is just where they sit around and make up horoscopes about each person. I loved it. And I bet that's how they do it.
Probably.
It's like Holly was a whatever sign and she was wearing blue. So blue is your good color. Holly, what's your birthday? Oh, the 11th. Okay, 11 is your... So eventually she got out of there, met up with Daniel, and they went to an Italian restaurant because he was really hungry. So now she's really like, oh my gosh, is this a date or not? And they ran into Jerry's parents, who were extremely rude to Daniel.
That does not happen.
She went and opened Gary's second to last letter, and it was sunflowers and sunflower seeds. And he told her to go plant the seeds and give John a birthday card. They went dress shopping with Denise, and she brought them to like every bridal store in the world, it felt like. And they were so over it. And they went out to eat and talked about what happened with Daniel and Jerry's parents.
None of that happened apart from the dress shopping. But also, like I said, it was just Denise by her lonesome.
A couple days later, the grand opening of Hogan's. It was like a beach theme, so they had sand and everything. They went all out. They're having a good time, and Alice went with them, and she's the receptionist for the magazine. And Holly wrote the article and then had Alice fine-tune it, but Alice ended up rewriting the whole thing because Holly does not know how to write at all. And Holly turned it in, and Chris, her boss, loved it. And it seemed like she took credit for it, and Alice was pissed.
And this did not happen.
Nope. We are with Denise at her work, and she gets arrested, and it turns out it was her hen party, aka bachelorette party, and they went away for the weekend, and Holly just really wasn't having it. She clearly didn't even try from Denise's point of view, and Holly went back down to the bar and chatted with the barman, Charlie, at like 5 a.m. because she was really needing some water, and she's talking with Charlie about how much she missed her husband, but he assumed it was just for the weekend. And then this fiance of the hotel's daughter, so the owner of the hotel's daughter is there with her friends and fiance. And the fiance comes over and tries and kisses Holly. Then the hotel's daughter sees this and smacks him. And Holly just goes to her room. And she vents to Sharon about all this. And Sharon gasps because the baby kicked and it's a boy and they're naming him Jerry.
And that does not happen in the movie.
Nope. Holly was back at work and she was looking through magazine for November. It's first edition and she was really proud of it. And Alice is still upset because she was jealous that Holly got the credit for it because she's been wanting to be a writer there for years or like, yeah, years now. And finally, Holly made her look at it. And it was this whole page called Alice in Wonderland. And the article was credited to her. And Chris promoted her and gave her her own page in the magazine where she would get to find little fun little areas and write about them.
That does not happen in the movie.
Nope. Denise calls and turns out she was inviting her to a Christmas ball and that they go to every year. But Holly came up with the reason, I have to work, I can't go, to get out of it. And she didn't want to go because it was something her and Jerry would do every year together. But then Denise called BS. Oh, it's Luna. Okay. I thought Riley was going to freak me out again. Okay. Then Denise called her BS and they got into a fight on the phone. And Denise called her a bore. Holly called her insensitive. And they hung up and just cried. Chris came in and told a story about when his wife had died. Before his wife died, they always went to botanical gardens together every Sunday. And he could not go there after she had died. But a few months ago, he did. And it was really hard at first, but now he goes every Sunday again. And he told Holly, you know what? Sometimes we just got to face hard things, but it's worth it. So Holly went to Hogan's and spoke to Daniel, see if he was going. And then she went back to the office and had their fashion guy get her a cute dress. And Chris looked at the picture of him and his wife at the botanical gardens and smiled and said, okay, if Holly can do it, I can do it too. And he vowed to go back one day because he was lying to her. Just push her through.
That was so cute. That's fucking hilarious. I didn't catch that. Really? I didn't know that.
I thought it was so cute.
That's hilarious. Yeah, that part does not happen in the movie.
Nope. So the day after her fight with Denise, she opens November's letter and it's from Jerry and it told her to go to the ball. So he, even if Chris didn't make up her mind, Jerry did. So at the ball, she saw a bunch of people she hadn't seen for a long time. Some new. And they oversympathized and said, I'm so sorry. This must be so hard. How are you doing? Over and over and over again. And then there were other people that didn't know. So she had to break the news to them and it got real awkward. And so there was this moment where Daniel was talking about his ex. And it turns out the ex was the fiance at the hen party of the hotel owner. And so Holly didn't share this information, though, because he was so stoked that some girl kissed the fiance and she smacked him and all this sort of stuff. So Eventually, she went on the dance floor with Daniel, but then a slow song came on and she hadn't anticipated this. And he and her danced and they held her close and just, it was nice. But then she went to the bathroom and locked herself in and kind of had a little breakdown panic attack. And while she was in the stall, she heard girls come in and be snotty and be like, how could she dance with another man in front of all of Jerry's friends, like flaunting him around? It hasn't even been a year yet. Just, you know, catty little things. And Sharon was also in the stall and came out and gave them what they had come in, like yelling at them and stuff. Then Holly came out and thanked her, and Sharon told her, go home, open the letter. It's the final one.
That does not happen in the movie.
Nope.
Because her mom gave her the final letter.
Yep. She went home and bumped into Daniel, or she was bummed that Daniel tagged along with her. And at her house, he was touching the letters and she was kind of like, stop it. Don't. And he's like, what are you going to do when all this is over? And she was confused. And she's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you got to follow your own heart. And then he wanted to tell her something and she freaked out because she knew what he was going to tell her. And she's like, this is not the time. And he's like, this is the perfect time to tell you how I feel.
So basically with the last letter in the movie, because her and Daniel have been playing this whole game of will they, won't they the whole time. So then she finally is like, wow, he's been right in front of me this whole time. I should go to him. So she goes with him and has him read the last letter to her. And then she kisses him. But then they don't end up together.
No.
So.
They do. They were like, yeah, mm-hmm. We're like brother and sister. That's gross.
Yeah. That was that as bad for you as it was for me?
So we have a flashback of Jerry writing his last letter. And he and Holly grew a lot closer over those final months. And he wanted to stay with her. To help her through as long as he could. So he sent her out for ice cream for breakfast. So he had to get her out of the house so he could write his final letter.
That does not happen.
Nope. Holly begged Daniel not to say what he was going to say. Naturally, he didn't listen. And he said he had feelings for her and got frustrated when she said she loved Jerry. And he's like, this is Jerry. Like, Jerry's not even here. And he's shaking the letter. And Holly is sobbing and Daniel's taxi gets there. So she says it's time to go. She opens Jerry's letter and it says it's okay to find new love. You should move on. And she was super distraught for several days, not knowing what to think and wondering how could Jerry tell her that.
That does not happen in the movie.
Nope. Richard got Holly a Christmas tree because she hadn't gotten one yet. And it's Christmas Eve and he works at a tree farm. And he stayed to decorate it with her, even though she didn't really want him to, because that was something her and Jerry did. But then she remembered, oh, yeah, he's having a super lonely Christmas, too, because his family is also gone. And after he left, she listened to the answering machine. And Daniel has been trying to get a hold of her all month. He ended up calling this phone number because he thought it was Sharon's number because of way back when with the karaoke call. And then it was about 5 other people saying, hey, Daniel's looking for you. And finally, the last message was Daniel realizing that, hey, this is Holly's phone number. And I just really want to talk to you in person before Denise's wedding because she's having a New Year's Eve wedding.
None of that happens.
Nope. It was Christmas and she's at her family's house and she confronted Jack about ditching her all year. Jack apologizes, says it's been really, really hard for him, too, because he also was really close with Jerry, and he assumed since she had Richard now, they were close now, it was okay. They had a long chat, but then they became close and forgave each other and friends again.
That did not happen.
It was now time for Denise's New Year's Eve wedding, and Holly saw Laura, which is Daniel's ex. She tries to find out what room Denise is in, or what room Daniel was in, and Denise finally told her because the receptionist wouldn't. And she went and knocked on the door, and Laura answered it. Laura and Holly had this screaming match because Laura recognized her from the hotel. And Holly eventually left and Daniel was there and just got awkward because clearly he wanted to be back together with her. So she didn't want to get involved. She went to the elevator and ran into Leo, her hairdresser. He fixed her up nice. And then the wedding happened and she gave this wonderful maid of honor toast, which was so beautiful. And then Daniel asked her to dance and he explained that he only brought Laura because he knew Holly and him would never work. And he never would have brought her if there was even an ounce of chance of them working out. He went home for Christmas and they rekindled their love. And all the girls were dancing when the ball dropped and they wished each other a happy new year.
That did not happen because instead Holly took her mom to Ireland, where Holly ran back into Jeffrey Dean Morgan and his dad so that Holly and her mom could both fall in love with an Irish dude.
Yeah. So like, but gross.
Yes. That's exactly what I thought too. Like,
if they got married, you'd be dating your brother. Like, what is that?
Mm-hmm. Or if you all got married, it's like you're all just one big happy family.
Gross. Well, the book leaves us with an epilogue. And Holly wanted to get the newspaper to see Denise's wedding photo. And it's basically the exact same scene from before. The newspaper guy made her buy all of them. Then she wanted chocolates. Then the bag broke. And the same guy that asked her out for coffee helped her again. And this time she asked him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's that did not happen.
Nope. That's all. All right. So we have 52 people cast for this movie. Hilary Swank played Holly.
She did good for what the movie wrote her as.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm pretty sure I wanted to recast everybody in this movie, but I did not do my homework to do so.
So fail, Allie, fail.
No, I'm going to try and find someone. I didn't like her. Oh my gosh. Okay, yes. That's what I seen her in. I'm pretty sure. Duh. Yep. Okay. I think Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah. Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she would be a good Holly.
She would even be great since, you know, she's Irish.
I know. I typed in Irish actress. Just came up and I was like, she has the That's look. Amazing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gerard Butler's Gary.
What's funny is I don't like Gerard Butler, period, because he's a jerk to fans. Mm-hmm. And so I just have bad taste in my mouth because of that. But I mean, he was fine for the movie. I didn't recast.
No, I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow played Denise.
I loved her.
I love Lisa Kudrow, but I did not like her as Denise. I think she would have been a good Sharon.
Honestly, I was just thinking that because I didn't like Sharon.
Yeah.
Sharon was not who I actually. Yeah, I think that would be good.
Okay. So Lisa Kudrow is now Sharon and Gina Gershon is now Gershon. Denise.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay. That's good. Kathy Bates is Patricia.
If they wrote her right, I would have loved it, but her I hated mom. That yeah. She was bitch mom. Yeah,
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Harry Connick Jr. played Daniel.
Again, if they wrote him exactly how he was supposed to be, I think he would have been great.
Yes, I agree. He had the look and everything, but he was mm-hmm.
he was just written over awful. The top trying to get with her.
Nellie McKay played Kira.
What's funny is I didn't know that's how her name was pronounced, so I kept saying Sierra in my head. So then I just pictured my best friend Sierra.
So well, yeah, if I had seen it written like that, I also would say Sierra.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the audiobook she kept saying her Kira.
She's a lion.
Oh my gosh. Jeffrey Dean Morgan played William.
Didn't exist in the book, but I loved him anyway.
Yeah. I love him, but his character.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, do the characters stay true? No.
You mean, is the theme of the book and the movie the same first? Yep.
I skipped that. No.
Yeah. I mean, the letters are there, but that's about it.
Yeah. Do the characters stay true?
Not at all.
What do you prefer?
I prefer the movie because it's shorter.
I prefer the book because I loved it.
That does not surprise me. I knew. I realized. I was like, oh, she loved it.
I did. I loved it. So you would
not recommend it to a friend? No.
I 100% would. I would especially recommend it to anyone who's gone through this.
Yeah.
Just because it did. I felt seen the whole time. I was like, yep. Resonated with it. But yeah, I loved it.
Good. I'm glad you did.
But I hated the movie.
I would recommend the book, but not the movie.
If they didn't write Daniel so dumb, he's like, I'm just a socially awkward guy that I spill everything and I just say everything weird. I understand there are people like that. That's fine. Like, you know what? Fine. But don't make it the sweet guy from the book.
Yeah.
To this, like, total opposite. It's just annoying.
No, I get it. I didn't like that part of the movie, but like I said, I don't want to sit down and reread that book.
Don't you own this movie and you don't like it?
Yeah. It's because I'm pretty sure I got it. Either I got it from a friend or I got it when I lived in Flagstaff at the super cheap entertainment store called Hastings, where I would go check their DVDs every once in a while because they had a section that was all like $5 or less.
Awesome.
Oh, or I might have got it at Bookman's, which is basically a secondhand store for purchasing entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's super freaking cheap.
Yeah.
So it was one of those like, damn, man, that's cheap. I'll buy it.
All right. Well, very cool.
Okay.
So that's it. That's our whole episode. Fine.
Yeah, we did it. I know. I'm ready to sleep.
You too.
All right. Well, first we have to tell you about our awesome, awesome off-script website called offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
You should check it out. There's so many cool things that you can do while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Like rating, subscribing, reviewing.
That is the best way to support us if you like us.
Mm-hmm.
That gets... us out to other people.
Yes, it does. On Wednesday, we'll probably have a mini-sode for you if we are going at the rate we're going.
Yeah, we're hoping to have one.
Yes.
We should, actually. Yeah.
And then Monday, we have Little Women.
So it's a movie that actually has Saoirse Ronan in it.
Yes, it is.
Oh, gosh. With that... P.S. I love you.
Went off script.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Off Script, on Instagram at Off Script Podcast 21, and on TikTok at offscript_pod.
Shout out to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.